Today was a big day for Chicago. The budget, the much-awaited budget address from Mayor Lightfoot, her first, came today amidst protests from teachers and progressives who surrounded City Hall. It was a mess if you were downtown today. Heather Sharon was downtown as well. She covers politics for the Daily Line, which covers all things Chicago, Cook County, and Springfield, and she's on the line now. Heather, thanks for being here.
Happy to be here, Justin.
Long day for you. So, were there any surprises? Let me start there. Were there surprises to you from what you saw with the budget address?
So I think the big question on everybody's mind was there going to be a massive property tax hike in Mayor Lori Lightfoot's first budget? And the answer is no. There was a small property tax hike of about $18 million that would be used to allow the Chicago Public Library branches to stay open on Sunday. Hmm. But other than that, no property tax hike as of yet. But what the mayor did was basically put a big fat $50 million IOU in the middle of her budget and called on Governor J.B. Pritzker and the General Assembly to change the way the city taxes real estate transfers.
Right.
So when you buy a house, you pay a fee, and part of that fee goes to the city. And what the mayor wants to do is lower that fee for less expensive houses and raise it significantly for homes worth more than $10 million, which I'm sure is a grave concern to you and me both. Right,
I was like, oh, $10 million? I was hoping to get 25 for mine, so I'm in trouble, right? Okay, so let me ask, when we talk about that and we do that IOU and you talk about Springfield, last week the governor was like, wow, that's blindside. First I'm hearing of it. And they're not really big on necessarily bailing out Chicago. So how is that going to get done?
That is literally the $50 million question, and nobody quite knows the answer to that. The fall veto session starts Monday, and the General Assembly will meet for a couple of weeks in which that legislation could, in theory, move through the General Assembly. But it wasn't the only thing that the mayor asked state lawmakers to do. She also asked them to change the tax and fee structure for a Chicago casino, because the way that the law is written now, the taxes would basically make it uninteresting for any investors or operators. So those were her two big asks of Springfield. And the outcome of those questions will have a big impact on what the final budget looks like when it gets through the city council, which is scheduled for November 26th.
Now, it's one thing to say, hey, I want to get some new legislation on the table to, do a graduated or a real estate transfer tax. Mm-hmm. But it's another to say, okay, can you go back into a bill that passed and crack it back open and change everything in there and then do the vote again? That's somewhat unprecedented to think that they're going to go back and open up any old law.
Certainly, especially one like this gaming bill, which literally turned into a Christmas tree of all different things hanging on there and passed sort of literally in the waning moments of the spring session with not that many votes to spare. So you open that back up, you've got to get votes from downstate lawmakers who may think, hey, well, you know, if Chicago's opening this up and they want something, where's mine in the grand immortal tradition of Illinois politics? And that makes it really, really difficult. The other thing is that the state is about to ask voters in November 2020 to change the way the income tax works from a flat tax to a graduated tax. So state lawmakers may not want to push anything through that smacks of a Chicago bailout, because that could complicate that vote, which has to pass with two-thirds of support. So that's a big hill to climb, and people are nervous about it.
I was going to say, Mayor Lightfoot's pretty smart. Is this all showmanship? Is this idea that she wants to try to put it on Springfield if they don't get it done, so she can come back and put it on Chicago taxpayers? I mean, I don't understand does she think she has the votes in Springfield or the will in Springfield to get this stuff done?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question, and I wish I knew the answer to that.
Yeah,
the best that I could think would be that if it doesn't pass, at least now she can come to the city council and say, look, friends, I tried. It's not my fault. If you're angry, be angry with those state lawmakers because I did my level best. Yeah. And that, you know, could potentially sort of give everybody a little bit of face covering, you know, to sort of say, well, we tried, we didn't have any luck. But also, let's put it in a little bit of context. So let's say the graduated real estate tax doesn't pass. It's a $50 million hole in the city's budget. That is literally 10% of the property tax hike that Mayor Rahm Emanuel pushed through in 2015. So that is magnitude less than I think a lot of people were worried about being asked to approve. So there was a lot of sort of, you know, deep sighs of relief at City Hall today.
Heather, you know, as a taxpayer in the city of Chicago and Cook County, the idea that Mayor Emanuel sold to us on raising taxes, property taxes, was going to go to pay down the pension debt. And this was the one thing that was strangling us as a state, as a city and the state and everything in between. Everybody's been trying to figure this out. When the Tribune did their story a couple weeks ago, they showed that that didn't happen, that the pension debt is actually more. So how difficult does it make it for Mayor Lightfoot to suggest that any of the changes she's going to make in a budget are going to help in this regard?
Well, you're absolutely right. The problem is that the city has four pension funds, one for police, one for fire, one for municipal workers, and one for laborers. So that 2015 property tax hike, all nearly $600 million of it went to police and fire pensions. Okay. And now those pensions are on a ramp, as we all like to say in the business. They have a plan to get to 90% funded. So those pensions aren't at issues because really that's what was taken care of under Rahm Emanuel. Now what the issue is, the laborers and the municipal workers' pensions, and those pensions are woefully underfunded and getting worse because in some respects the returns on investment haven't sort of kept up with what people hoped it would, which was what that Tribune story demonstrated very, very ably. So it's a little bit of apples and oranges. There are different funds with different funding levels, but this is sort of, to be quite frank, you know, the other half of the equation that Rahm Emanuel did not have to deal with during his time in office, and that he really just sort of left for his successor. And in a sense, that bill came due today.
Hmm. Heather Sharone, my guest from the Daily Line, talking about the budget today. What were the highlights? Obviously, she went out of her way to put new monies in for some specific projects like affordable housing and violence. Would those be the highlights of a budget address?
I suppose that they would be, but both of those priorities are only getting about $10 million new dollars each, and in a budget that is $11.6 billion, it's certainly a lot of money. I'd be happy to have $10 million land in my lap, but that's really sort of, you know, pennies in the grand scheme of things. And I think that we heard from a lot of aldermen, a lot of progressive aldermen, that they were disappointed that there was not more money for those progressive priorities that the mayor campaigned on, including money to reopen the 6 mental health clinics that Rahm Emanuel closed in 2011. Now, Mayor Lightfoot had said during the campaign that she would use that money from the graduated real estate tax to fund homelessness services and mental health services. And then now that she's got this big, massive budget deficit, that plan has really been dropped. And there are going to be some very tough questions that her aides are going to have to face starting on Monday as the budget hearings get underway.
Okay, Heather. So then the lowlights. We talk about the new I don't know if you call them taxes or fees or whatever it might be, service fees. But there are going to be some impact on our pocketbooks.
Right, especially if you take Uber and Lyft into or out of the downtown or near north area, your trip is going to cost you probably about triple unless you hop on one of those shared rides. And that's to do a couple things. One, it will raise $40 million for the city. And two, the mayor is hoping that it will reduce congestion downtown, which, as we all know, is awful and terrible and has certainly been sort of added to by all of those single ride hailing cars circling around, you know, looking for their pickup.
Yeah, then it's no doubt it's added to congestion. And I like the idea of a congestion tax, but to triple routes into downtown. I wonder if that will impact people saying, I don't want to go downtown. Because you're talking about nightlife, you're talking about tourism, all that kind of stuff where, I don't know, if I lived in one of the neighborhoods, it would maybe change the way I'm thinking about going downtown.
Sure. And I think that the mayor is hoping that it prompts some people to say, well, you know, I don't feel like paying all that much for an Uber, so maybe I'm going to, you know, hop on the L, maybe I'm going to try out the buses, you know, maybe I'm going to try sort of a more environmentally sensitive way to get around town. But it is really designed to change people's behavior when it comes to getting downtown and getting out of downtown. But, we, you know, the ride-hailing companies, Uber and Lyft, blew up my email box today, and yeah, they are fully prepared to sort of wage a complete and total war against this proposal, which they see as really sort of not addressing the fundamental issues, and also will hurt people on the south and the west sides who, you know, can't hail a cab. You know, now if you're in Lakeview, chances are there are going to be plenty of cabs around. However, if you're trying to get downtown from a place like Chatham or Austin, you know, Uber or Lyft might really be your only option. And if you've got to pay triple for that to get downtown, I think that that's going to be an issue in terms of equity, especially since the mayor has said that that's such an important guiding principle for her.
Heather Sharon covers politics for the Daily Line. She's managing editor there, and she also has a newsletter they put out in the morning. Sign up for it. All right, I'm going to take a break, come back, and we got to talk about day six of the teacher strike here. They showed up in force today downtown to protest at the City Hall budget address. But what can we assume from day six, day seven, and, you know, if you're hearing anything about a possible end to this teacher strike in Chicago? Heather Sharon on the line here in Extension 720. Stay with us. Heather Sharon is on the line with us here on Extension 720. She covers politics for the Daily Line, which is covers all things Chicago, Cook County, and Springfield. And, of course, we just talked about the plans for 2020 here in Chicago, the budget address today. But let's talk about the teacher strike, which is getting national recognition. Elizabeth Warren came in yesterday, and it seems like there doesn't seem to be an end in sight. It seemed early on in this strike, Heather, it was all about, oh, maybe tomorrow we'll be back in school. Now they're talking in you know, maybe next week. It's changing, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, I think parents scrambling to figure out childcare for their kids are probably would probably land on the bad side of that. But the teachers union would tell you that they're not going back until they have an agreement that protects students and, you know, reverses some of the deep cuts of the last couple of years.
Are they making progress?
You know, it's hard to say because today so much of the oxygen was taken up by the budget speech and the huge protest outside City Hall that shut down most of the loop for most of the morning. And there were still negotiations going on, and there does seem to be some progress on some side issues, such as teacher evaluations. However, the big kahuna is this question of staffing and class size. And until, you know, I start to hear rumblings that they've reached sort of a tentative agreement on those issues, I don't think that we're close to the strike being over. And tomorrow will be day six. Friday would be day seven, which means it would tie the length of the 2012 strike in Rahm Emanuel's first term.
Yeah. It is interesting because a lot of this has to do, and you hear this mantra, and you've heard it leading up to this about put it in writing, and we've heard this over and over and over. What does that mean? What is put it in writing? I mean, I thought we're talking about a contract here. Isn't a contract writing?
Sure. And what the difference is right now a lot of these staffing promises for nurses and social workers and counselors are in the CPS budget. However, they are not in the teachers union contract. So, for example, if CPS says, look, we're going to spend X amount of money and we're going to hire X number of teachers, but they can only hire X minus four teachers or nurses. Nobody's going to take them to court or, you know, sort of ask for sanctions. However, if those staffing requirements are in the teachers union contract, that's a legally binding sort of enforceable document that the union could take to a judge and say, look, they promised to do this. They didn't do it. We want sanctions. We want, you know, sort of you to order them to do so. And that's really sort of what this entire, really about. You know, is really about, is how do you enforce those promises?
And for those who are listening and say, oh, well, that's not, those aren't things that should be in contracts. How can they do that? The reason that the union is so steadfast on this idea is that they've been burned before. This is something that the last couple teachers' contracts, they have come out of it saying, we're going to give you more money, we're going to give you more teachers, and this is going to happen. And when the rubber meets the road, economic hardship, in quotes, always rules out.
Right. And to be fair, the district is saying, look, these are really difficult positions to fill. You know, their unemployment is really low. They don't necessarily pay super great. So they're having a hard time filling these positions. But the teachers union's basically, you know, sort of rolling their eyes at that and saying, look, that's great. I appreciate that it's tough. You need to do a better job because this is what our kids deserve. And that has really sort of been the dividing line. I think you're right that there was a little bit more progress towards the beginning of this week than there was sort of mid this week when Mayor Lori Lightfoot sent a letter asking the teachers union to go back to work without a contract. I know I talked to a lot of teachers who were just incredibly offended that she would ask them to do that. And I think that really sort of, you know, changed the tenor of negotiations a little bit, whether for good or for ill. Yeah. You know, it's hard to say.
And then today, Lightfoot, at a presser, was talking about comparing Jesse Sharkey to Karen Lewis. You know, I don't understand what the point of that is to start playing games with the leadership and if they're effective on the other side.
Yeah. Well, you know, part of Mayor Lori Lightfoot's issue has been that the CTU bargaining team is 40 members. So that, you know, if you've ever tried to get a group of people to agree on where to go for dinner, it can be challenging. So she said that has slowed down the pace of the negotiations. And she suggested today that wasn't the case in 2012, even though the bargaining team was the same size, because Karen Lewis, you know, was basically more powerful within the union than Jesse Sharkey, which, you know, that's a lot of internal union dynamic. And Karen Lewis is really just a revered figure among CTU. And I can only imagine that Jesse Sharkey and, you know, the people around him bristled a little bit at that remark.
So quickly, Jesse Jackson getting involved? I saw that he was coming in to mediate. Is that a thing?
Well, I think the teachers union asked him to mediate. I have not heard that officially he had been invited to the negotiation sessions, but that does seem very Chicago in some ways, doesn't it?
Right. Well, hopefully Reverend Jackson can come in and get a win. That would be great if he came in and he came out with the two of their hands together.
Yeah, only in Chicago.
Lightfoot and Sharkey. He's like, I got it done. Yeah, we'll see if that happens. Heather Giron, the managing editor at the Daily Line, which covers all things politics in Chicago, Cook County, Springfield. And they got an awesome newsletter that's a must read every morning. Heather, thanks for joining us.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks, Justin.